This is the story of how I became the third baseman for the most fun team in sports.
I was playing in the Cape Cod League, which is the most prestigious college baseball league. The Diamondbacks offered me a contract, forego my next year of college, get not drafted, but basically signed. Talked to my coach, talked to my dad, and they were like, go back for your senior year, get drafted. And then COVID happened, and the MLB draft, instead of picking 1,500 players in the draft, they picked 150. End of my baseball career, I am completely done. So I started delivering groceries.
No way. You were doing TikTok videos of your deliveries?
Instacart reached out to me. They were like, hey, we want to pay you to do this Super Bowl ad. What made me leave that job is I was in the middle of a delivery one day and I got a message from MLB. It was a direct message. Jackson, we want you to go to every MLB stadium and rank every MLB stadium. So I was at my 21st stadium on the field recording videos. I had this itch. I'm like, this is fun, but I miss baseball so much. I miss playing so much.
Later that night, I was in my hotel and I saw not one, not two, but three banana TikToks.
How did you get a hold of them?
Yeah, so I made a TikTok.
So Jesse Cole reached out directly?
Yep, he DM'd me and was like, Jackson would love to work with you in any way.
Can you explain what banana ball is?
It's theater on a baseball field, but we're also playing a real game. We're doing crazy walk-ups, we're singing songs, we're doing dances, we're throwing the ball between our legs. 2-hour time limit, and if the game's tied at the end of the game, we have a showdown where it's like pitcher versus hitter. It's like very WWE style. Fan catches a foul ball, it's an out.
Have you ever been playing and something goes terribly wrong?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. My guest today is Jackson Olson, the third baseman for the Savannah Bananas, a name you've probably heard a lot lately. But unless you've been to a game, you might not fully understand what makes this team so special. Jackson has had an incredible journey in baseball, playing at collegiate level before joining the Bananas, a team that has taken the sports world by storm with their unique blend of high-energy entertainment, unconventional rules, and nonstop fan engagement. The Bananas are more than just a baseball team. They're a phenomenon, selling out stadiums across the country and redefining what it means to experience America's pastime. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Jackson and hearing all about how he got his start into TikTok and how he combined his love for being creative with playing baseball. So what's it really like to be part of the most talked about team in baseball? Jackson is here to give us an insider's look at life as a banana, from the behind-the-scenes antics to the pressure of playing a game that's as much about showmanship as it is about skill. Whether you're a baseball fan or just love a great story, you're going to love this conversation with Jackson Olson. Let's get into it. Jackson, I'm so excited that you're here with me. I've heard nothing but Savannah Bananas for the last couple months. And it's like such an honor to have you here and ask you all the questions everyone wants to know. So thank you for joining me on Misunderstood.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I also love the name Misunderstood. It's really cool.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So I want to start with who you are as a person, because so many people are focused on the team as a whole, but as an individual, I want to know you. So can you tell me a little bit about your upbringing and when your love for baseball started?
Yeah, I mean, my love for baseball started immediately. My brother and dad both played. I was the bat boy for my brother's team growing up. So automatically you're just thrown into the baseball world. Bunch of 18, 17, 18 year old, 19 year olds swearing and just like probably not the best like scenario for me to be in when I was 5 years old, but it made me love the game, and that's kind of all part of the game. And so that's when it started, and obviously loved baseball my entire life. So I continued it through high school, continued it through college. Luckily I was able to get a scholarship to the University of Hartford, played shortstop three years there, and then COVID hit. This is all the spark notes of this story, but COVID hit. And I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to play baseball down south. I was shoveling snow on our field at Hartford every December. And I'm like, dang, like I want to go to the south. Like, I want to see what it's all about. So I transferred to Stetson, played a year there. But before that, I was playing in the Cape Cod League, which is the most prestigious college baseball league, and was playing really well. And the Diamondbacks, Arizona Diamondbacks, came up to me one day. And they were talking to me for a little while. And they were like, hey, like, we think that you could be a good fit for our organization, blah, blah, blah. And then they offered me a contract to basically forego my next year of college, like not go to my next year of college, and get not drafted, but basically signed. And I was like, whoa, like, okay, obviously I'm going to say yes to that. I want to play professional baseball. It's been my goal. It's every kid's dream to put on a Major League Baseball hat. And talk to my coach, talk to my dad, and they were like, go back. It was a really small offer. It was like $5,000, which seemed like a lot to me at the time. Right. And it really, in the grand scheme of things, was not at all, which I'd find out later. My dad, my coach at Hartford was like, go back for your senior year, get drafted. These teams will have more invested in you. If you have a really good senior year and you play really well, these teams will want you even more, and they'll give you more money, and they'll have basically more invested in you. So I was like, all right, cool. And then COVID happened, and the MLB draft, instead of picking 1,500 players in the draft, they picked 150. So it literally went down like a significant amount. And I was unfortunately not in the top 150 best players. I was probably like 500 to 1,000. I don't know what I would have been. But the draft got cut short because of the less teams, less money teams had because of COVID. And then was like, all right, I'm done. Like, this is my end of my baseball career. I am completely done. So I started delivering groceries because I didn't want to get a job yet, because I was too immature to get a job in the real world. So I was like, let me just deliver groceries and like document my time, because I had started a TikTok channel before that. And I was like, let me just like make videos of no one's doing this in the entire world. Like,
wait, no way. You were doing TikTok videos of your deliveries?
Yes. I have like, literally, if you search Jackson Olson Instacart, you will literally find probably 100 or hundreds of videos of me delivering groceries. The funny part about that is that Instacart reached out to me, and I didn't even know this was a real thing. This is like my first brand deal. They're like, hey, we want to like pay you to do this Super Bowl ad where you're in full football gear, running through the store, like grabbing Doritos, grabbing Mountain Dew, putting it in your cart. And they paid me more for that than I made my entire time delivering groceries, actually. So I was like, all right, this is the most full circle moment of my entire life. So yeah.
That is so cool. Oh my God. So, all right, hold on. I have so many questions. So as a young kid, first of all, so you were good enough, obviously, but so you really wanted to be a baseball player.
That was it. That's all I wanted.
And was there a plan B? Like, were you going to be an accountant? I mean, what else was there for you if there wasn't? I mean,
plan B was to be a professional Instacart driver. That was really what.
So that's as far as it went.
I literally had nothing else. I mean, I remember my mom texted me this like a month ago. And it was a memory popped up on our phone that we both went to New York City, because I was from Connecticut, went to New York City, and I interviewed for a job in New York. I don't even know what job it was. I don't know what company it was. I got a LinkedIn message, and this guy was like, hey, you should apply for our job. And I was like, all right, New York City, my brother works there. My sister has worked there. Like, that'd be so cool to live there. And I walked out of the interview. My mom was like, how'd it go? And I was like, it went great, but what am I doing here? I'm not supposed to be in a suit. I'm not supposed to be wearing a suit right now. I'm 21 years old. I have the rest of my life to work like this. I was like, there's something. And that was the moment where it clicked. And I'm like, I have to do something else. And that's when the Instacart started. That's when TikTok started going crazy. And like, basically my whole journey started. But.
Okay, wait, I'm going to sidestep for a second, because I get a lot of Instacart orders. I have a 12-year-old. The Instacart people are always at our house. I'm just curious how that works. Are you always like sitting in your car waiting near a place to get a delivery? Like, how does it work?
Yes. So I mean, this is a crazy story. So I was delivering in Connecticut, and yes, you sit in your car, you wait for the order, you get the $70 Costco order, and you're like, let's go. And it takes you like an hour and a half to find everything. You finally find it. But anyway, I moved to New York City.
And wait, and you're getting like a $4 tip, right?
Yeah. But you're like, I played it right, and I was playing it smart, where I was making like probably $400 a day doing Instacart deliveries. And it was over COVID. So it was also like, and after COVID a little bit, so everybody was ordering groceries. But then I moved to New York City with my ex-girlfriend, girlfriend at the time, now ex-girlfriend. And we were both Instacarting. We were both like riding city bikes. We're putting groceries, hoping that no one stole our city bike. We would literally park our city bikes outside of the store, go in, tracking the bike to make sure, like if I'm in the back of the store and I can't see it, I'm like tracking the bike to make sure no one stole it. Walked outside, put the groceries on the handles, parked the bike again to bring it up 100 stories where these rich people were living in New York penthouses, giving good tips though. But yeah, that's as much as I'll.
So wait, are Instacart people making their money on the tips, or are they making it, you get a certain percentage that Instacart gives you?
Yeah, there's a percentage Instacart gives you, but then you also make money. The tip, if someone tips you big, like that's your most of your money is going to come from.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I had some horror stories though. My first time Instacarting in New York City, I was riding a city bike. And I don't know if you've ridden on every street in New York City, but there's two streets that have a pretty steep incline that, like, Manhattan does not have inclines, but there are a couple where it's like, oh, okay. So I was riding my bike, not thinking about this. And I was riding down and my brakes like weren't working as well. I was like an older bike, I guess. Okay. And I had 9 bags on both sides. Like I'm holding them and also holding the handles and then holding them and holding the handles.
Yeah.
And a truck flies by me and I stop the bike and I literally see it in slow motion to this day. All of the groceries, except for like 2 of the bags, flew out onto the street. The whole next like 5 days, I'm looking on TikTok to make sure no one got a video of me doing this. And I found this is turning into like an Instacart podcast.
I know. Forget the baseball.
This is an important part of like my journey of why I am here, because I was like able to go through all this adversity. I found old bags and I put everything in and finally got it to the people. They took my tip down from like $25 to $2 because the watermelon was broken. Like the milk carton was like dented in, all of this. But anyway.
Wow. Okay. So what made you leave that job?
What made me leave that job is I was in the middle of a delivery one day and I got a message from MLB. It was a direct message because we had followed each other. I'd made some videos for them. And this is in the early days of like social media still.
Okay.
And they had this thing called the creator class. They wanted me to create videos for them along with 9 other creators. And I was like, all right, this is literally my segue into what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like, I'm going to take advantage of this. Made a video applying for it because I had to apply for it. And they picked me. And then, yeah, we had to make 12 videos for the creator class, whatever you wanted it to be. If you're at a stadium eating a hot dog, it was just promoting MLB in any way. And I think I made like 65 videos because I was like, if I'm going to like, there's 9 of us. I almost see it as like a competition. Like I want to be the best one out of all 9 of us,
right?
Get the most views, the most engagement, all this stuff. So that if there's another opportunity next year, because this is not going to go on forever, they'll pick me. If they're deciding between one person, they're going to pick me. And that ended up happening. And they reached out and they're like, Jackson, we want you to go to every MLB stadium, this company called Game Time, a ticketing app, rank every MLB stadium. And I'm like, all right, this is it. Like, this is
the greatest job ever.
Yeah, this is my next step. But I still knew that it was like, once the 30 of the stadium was over, then what? Like, so I kept working hard. And I started to get brand deals, like DirecTV reached out, Adobe reached out, like all these companies were reaching out and I was kind of growing this following. So I was at my 21st stadium and I was basically on the field recording videos at Target Field for the Twins, Minnesota Twins. And I'm like, I had this itch. I'm like, this is fun, but I miss baseball so much. I miss playing so much. And funny enough, like my entire life has been this weird, like full circle moment thing, like I believe in signs and like all these signs happening around me. Right. And I went back to my hotel, scrolling on TikTok, and I'd seen the bananas a couple of times, but not like a million. 3 videos back to back to back from the bananas. And I was seeing MLB videos, like different plays and home runs guys were hitting, but then I'd never seen bananas. And then I saw 3 back to back to back bananas TikToks. And I'm like, this is what I was thinking about earlier about playing baseball. Like, this is theater mixed with like, I love The Greatest Showman, like mixed with The Greatest Showman, mixed with baseball, mixed with TikTok. Like I have to shoot my shot with this team. And so I made a TikTok and now I'm here. So.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to take a quick moment to chat about something that's really been on my mind lately, my health journey. As a busy mom and businesswoman, it can feel overwhelming to prioritize my well-being, right? But ever since I found Holistic Goddess, it's like I've discovered a whole new way to think about health. They've vetted everything in their marketplace, so I know I'm getting quality products that actually really work. It's like having a friend who's done all the legwork for you. That's exactly what Holistic Goddess feels like to me, a friend sharing their real experiences and recommendations, and that's who I want to be for you, sharing things that have helped and worked for me personally. Please give Holistic Goddess a try to be your marketplace for trusted brands. Go to holisticgoddess.com. If you find something you like, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. And so wait, so were they hiring? Were they like, how did you get a hold of them?
Yeah. So I made a TikTok and I basically, the TikTok was, and you can find it. It's on my pinned videos or whatever on Savannah Bananas.
Okay.
And it was, you're finally okay with not playing baseball anymore. And I like threw my glove down, threw my batting gloves down. Then I looked to my right and the text above says, but then you see the Savannah Bananas TikTok and it makes you want to play again. And I showed like a bunch of videos, guys like doing crazy stuff and just happened. Like they reached out, owner reached out, their director of social media reached out. And yeah.
So Jesse Cole reached out directly?
Yep. He DM'd me and was like, Jackson would love to work with you in any way. Let's figure something out.
Wow. So originally, did you think it would be as a creator or were you like, wait a minute, I can actually get on this team?
No, it was originally as a creator. Like, hey, you can come down. We have this summer series. We're going to play 6 games in August. We're trying out this new format of like having 6 games, whatever. I don't know exactly like what the whole plan was. All I knew was that I was going to go make content, film some videos and get out. And then I was on the phone with Jesse and I'm like, hey, Jesse, like, I don't know if you know this, you probably don't, you have a million things going on, but I played baseball, I played in the Cape Cod League, I got an offer from a professional team, like all this stuff. And he was like, no, like I know, I've seen a couple of your things, whatever. And then it turned into me making content to me going there and actually playing third base for them.
Oh my God. Okay. So now what year was this that this all started?
2022.
Okay. So basically their first year, right? Because they kind of started with this whole new brand in 2022?
Early in 2022, or 2021 too, but they had the first tour where they went on tour and actually went out of Savannah and played 7 cities earlier that year in 2022. And then the summer series was in August. So it was kind of at the start of like Banana Ball.
So, all right, at this point, do you think a lot of people knew of Banana Ball or was this kind of contained within Savannah?
No, I think a lot of people knew at this point because like I was going to games, major league games, and people were like, oh, like either they were wearing a jersey and I'm like, whoa, really? Like the Bananas, or they were like, hey, Jackson, you got to go to a Bananas game. Like you would love it. Like you would love making content there. Like add it to your, the MLB should add it to your, someone told me that MLB should add it to my stadium tour. And I'm like, what? Like, and they were like Grayson Stadium, like the Bananas like field. And I'm like, what even is this? And so it was pretty big at that point.
Okay. So now for people that are listening that have no idea what we're talking about, can you explain what Banana Ball is?
Yes. At the core, when I really think about Banana Ball, I think about Broadway mixed with baseball, mixed with theater. Like it's theater on a baseball field, but we're also playing a real game. So everybody always likes to compare us to the Globetrotters. Like, hey, you are the Globetrotters of baseball. And that's amazing to be related to such an amazing, like league, not league, but, I guess sports team like Globetrotters, but now we're going to have a league. But the main difference is that we're playing competitive games. We have more teams. We have 4 teams now, which is really cool. And every game goes down. I mean, a lot of the games go down to the very, very end. And that's why people are staying the entire game. Like they want to see who wins. Like it's a different game. We're playing real. We're having a lot of fun. We're doing crazy walk-ups. We're singing songs. We're doing dances. We're throwing the ball between our legs and bouncing the ball between our backs. But like at the core of it, like we're still playing. We're still playing to win. Like everybody wants to win the game at the end of the day.
So it's not a staged game per se. The game itself is live, but all the other things are staged, the songs and the, okay. I have so many questions. First of all, who are these people that are on these teams? Are they people that wanted to be major baseball league people? Are they people that have big singing careers? Like how are you good at both? Like that seems like a lot of stuff going on. And also, sorry, you're not just a typical baseball player. You're like catching things in different ways and you seem almost better and more flexible.
Yeah, you obviously have to be very flexible. I mean, mentally and physically like that. I would say you have to be more flexible mentally for sure, because you're going from, I mean, they're recruiting guys that either have a background in dance or background in like they have a good TikTok account or they have a good social media. But at the core of it, like number one, you have to be a really good person. You have to be a good person. That is literally the number one most important thing for anyone going into this organization. They've gotten rid of a lot of people that are really good baseball players, but not great people. And so that's number one. But also, I mean, you have to be a good baseball player. Like a lot of people think they look at the Bananas and they're like, oh, they're just like having fun out there and like throwing balls between their legs. But like, no, like they're our center fielder and now a lot of our outfielders, but our center fielder, D.R. Meadows, started it. He does a backflip and in the middle of his backflip, he catches a fly ball and lands it every single time. And so they're looking for people that can do stuff outside of the box. But like, it is the most impressive thing when you see it. When people come to a game for the first time, when they've seen it on social media and us singing and dancing, and they see that, or our shortstop, Ryan Cox, bouncing a ball between his back on a real ground ball. The runner is running as fast as he can. And we have a lot of fast guys. Bounces it between his back, catches it, bounces it between his legs like a basketball player, and throws the guy out at first base. It is the most incredible thing. I'm never going to say that we're better than Major League Baseball players. We're better than we don't care about the comparison. It just basically, we want people to acknowledge like how difficult it is to actually pull this stuff off.
There is a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5 where purpose and grit and the American spirit come together in the Peace Corps. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. And the love part is knowing your hard work can transform lives and build bridges across cultures. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. That's peacecorps.gov/serve.
Right. Well, but I read that, where are my notes here? That like 33 of the former players have made it into the Major League Baseball. They've been drafted. Is that right?
Yes. So that came from when the Bananas started as a summer league, college summer league. So right. Like the Cape, like I was talking about, like the Bananas played in the Coastal Plains League, mm-hmm. and then basically got out of the league to start Banana Ball. But yeah, and during that league, they were still singing and dancing. Like they were still, they had Bananas, like Dancing with the Stars, like Bananas version. Dancing with the Bananas, I think it was called. But yeah, so they were still, they were scouts watching these guys trying to draft them, but they were also dancing. They were doing a Hey Baby dance. They were like engaging with fans in the crowd. And so very cool.
Okay. So you don't know who's going to win the games. The games are not staged.
Nope. The Party Animals won more games than us. The other team we play. Okay. Now there's two more. They won more games than us in 2023. It came down to the last game. And people think that that's scripted. Like you guys were tied until the last game. Like obviously it's scripted, but it really, if you ask anyone in the entire organization, you would think there would be a whistleblower, but like, that it literally was not staged at all. We won the tour last year. So now this is kind of like the, all right, who's going to like win the third tour.
But yeah. Right. So you guys start your season this coming weekend. What's new and different? Are there any new teams? Are there any new rules? What should we expect?
Yep. New team, the Texas Tailgaters. So they are the new team. They're not based in Texas yet. They're still in Savannah. So like all of us are all together.
Do you guys all practice your moves together?
Yeah. And I think that's what makes, and we're in different locker rooms in Savannah, but when we go on the road and we play in these 17 major league stadiums, 4 NFL stadiums, we're all sharing the same locker room.
Okay.
So you better be a good person if you're going to come into this organization. That's a big reason. Like we don't want anyone that's a headache or a cancer in the locker room. So we have one new team, a lot of new, like, choreography that we had to learn this preseason, new trick plays. Everybody's doing new tricks. It's kind of like just evolving what we've already done. We know it's been successful. We know the Bananas has been successful, but it's like you have to like evolve and you have to do new things, or else those people that came last year and the year before, like they're going to come again. Like they're going to see us again. In Mesa, there's going to be a lot of people that have already seen us play that are going to that game. They're going to come there like, all right, is this going to be the same as I saw last year? And it's not. So it's going to be really cool.
Okay. So give me an idea of like what happens during preseason. Like what is a week in the life? Are you guys learning dances? Are you guys practicing playing? Are you working out? Tell me what it's like.
All of the above. We're learning. I mean, we just had snow in Savannah, unfortunately. So that knocked out about 3 days of very important rehearsal time. So yesterday we had a long day of relearning these dances, doing a music video. And like the dances, like we're baseball players, like dancing is very, very difficult for us. Some of us, I mean, some guys are really good, but like me personally, I've had to learn a lot in the last year and a half about the way my body moves and not looking like a statue out there. So a lot of dancing, a lot of creating content too. And like just being with the guys again is so cool because we all get to make content together. Mm-hmm. And really practicing these trick plays and working on our hitting and fielding and everything, all of the above. So it's way more than I ever had to do in college, mentally and physically.
Right. All right. So I know there's a bunch of rules, and for people listening that might not understand the difference between a regular baseball game and one of yours, can you explain some of the rules that stand out that make you guys Banana Ball and what you are?
Yeah. So 2-hour time limit.
What does that mean? It doesn't go to 9 innings.
it goes to nine innings unless it hits 2 hours. And if we play the first three innings and it's 2 hours long, like the game's over. Like we're only playing to 2 hours.
Okay.
So that's a really cool thing. There's a showdown tiebreaker at the end of the game. If the game's tied at the end of the game, we have a showdown where it's like pitcher versus hitter. It's like very WWE style. Like it's literally a showdown. Like it's really cool. We have a fan catches a foul ball. It's an out. So if someone gets a foul ball in the crowd, guy catches it, it's an out.
How often does that happen?
A lot.
Do people bring their gloves?
Everyone brings their glove. It's really cool. And you get brought down the field if you catch one. We had a game end 2 years ago, and a fan caught foul ball and we literally lost our minds. It was so fun.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. So those are the most exciting ones, I think, that really make banana ball what it is.
I had a question on one. How can a batter steal first base?
So if there's a pass ball, if pitcher throws it and it goes past the catcher, you can steal first base, but the catcher can still throw you out.
Oh, but wait, they can do that in Major League Baseball too, though, can't they? Or no?
Only if it's a third strike and the catcher drops it, you can run. But you can, if it's like first pitch of your at bat and he throws it behind, you can go to first. We had it happen today in our scrimmage, and it's exciting.
Oh my gosh! So how do you guys plan for your acrobatic stuff or the things that you're catching if you can't plan how somebody's hitting a ball to you?
Yeah. I mean, you have to have a lot in your arsenal. Like you have to have a lot of different, so my main thing is I throw the ball between my legs and behind my back. Okay. So I have two, basically three different throws for three different ground balls hit to me. And so like if a ball is hit like way to my right and I have to make a longer throw, I'll throw it between my legs. Like normal, I can't really do it on the camera, but it would make sense if you saw it. But if a ball is way to my left, it's easier to throw it behind my back because a behind the back throw, you have to really make sure you're throwing it directly to him. Between the legs, you can still see the ball. So you have to have a lot.
Did you learn this skill with the bananas or you knew how to do this already?
With the bananas. I mean, over the last 2 years, once I came in first practice, guys are doing trick plays and you kind of learn from everybody else around you that's doing them.
So do you think scouts are still are looking at you guys at all? Because you guys are kind of a different player and still are very, you know, playing all the time. You play a full season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any scouts are looking at the bananas like, yeah, I want this guy. Like he's a good dancer. Not that, but we have a lot of guys that have played baseball professionally. So we had a guy on the Party Animals drafted in the first round. He was a first round draft pick and now he's playing with the Party Animals. It's like, I don't know. I think of it as like a Taylor Swift type thing. Like it's endgame. Like bananas, like if you want to play for this team, like you better be all in. Right. And I'm pretty sure a major league scout is not going to look at a guy and be like, yeah, like even if you hit 35 home runs, like you're still a Savannah banana right now. Like when they were a college summer league team, of course. But I think guys come here and they really want to like lean in completely to being this and doing this. Not saying that a lot of guys are not talented enough, but like, I don't know. It's the most fun thing in the entire world. And it's very rewarding too.
Well, I love that. I mean, are you guys getting paid well enough that this can be your only job or do you have to deliver groceries on the side?
Luckily, do not have to deliver groceries anymore. I mean, yeah, we get paid well. And then on the side, I mean, I work with two main companies, Gatorade and Reebok, on year deals. So that's really cool. I've worked with a bunch of companies, Capital One, like a lot that are associated with sports, with Major League Baseball, with that type of thing, like booking.com. I've gotten to do a lot of cool opportunities. A lot of us have now. So we basically have, a lot of us have dual incomes now with bananas and social media brand deals.
Let me ask you a question about that. What do you think, because NIL is such a big deal now, when you were in college, like what do you think about the whole NIL thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was making merchandise in college, probably illegally. I mean, I don't care now, like sue me NCAA, what are you going to do? Like I was making merchandise and it had my name or my initials J-O on it.
Right.
And I was like, all right, that's fine. Like anyone could be J-O. But it had like, don't be afraid to be you on the front of it. And that's like in my Instagram bio. So they could track it back to me if they really wanted to. Right. But I was sneaky with it. I don't know. But I think it's really cool. A lot of these schools deserve, their athletes deserve to be paid. So.
Right. And what is the end? You said end game. What is the end game for all of you guys as players? I know right now you're having so much fun. You're getting paid, you're making a good living. So this like fills your time and your purpose in your life. But where do you see yourself in 5 years? Is this the type of job that you can keep playing, or like you'll have to retire from the bananas and then, you know, be a coach? Like what's the next step for after this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, personally, I've always looked at acting as something that I want to get into. I mean, I'm making TikToks every day, not that I'm like acting and speaking in them, but I have, a lot of us have gotten this ability to like basically act in a certain way. And I don't know if I want to do recording or anything like that. But yeah, I think acting is certainly a thing that I could get into, maybe hosting too. And yeah.
Are you worried about the TikTok ban thing?
Not really. I mean, I was leaning into like the humor of it a little bit, but never like really worried about it.
So if it completely goes away, let's say, will you just move it to Instagram and do more of your stuff there? I mean, I know you're prevalent on Instagram anyways.
Yeah. Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube. I've gotten, a good following on both of those too. So I'll just move to those because there's nothing you can do. If it gets banned, like you can only go forward and move forward. So.
Okay. I love that you have a great attitude about everything. Will you tell our listeners about one of your most favorite moments that you can remember, or like a favorite rule that you know, you were saying the guy caught the ball at the end, to end the game. Like what's one of your most favorite days?
Favorite memory. This is like an ingrained one now where like, I think of it, like, you know, when someone asks you a question and like, you know, immediately like what it's going to be like, this has been for 2 years now. So obviously we're very fans first. The name of the company is called Fans First Entertainment. That's the umbrella company of the Bananas, Party Animals, Firefighters, Tailgaters. So at the end of the game, we always sign autographs and we'll be out there taking pictures for 2 hours, two hours after the game. And 2 years ago, we really didn't have any like security or anything like that. So we were staying out there for a long time I was staying out there till the last fan was gone every single night. We don't do that. We can't really do that anymore with the amount of fans they're playing in front of and the amount of fans that are there. But I was at the very end and there was three people left in my line to get an autograph. A woman walks by me. She kind of like taps me on the shoulder. She was like, "You must be so tired of this, aren't you?" And like said it. And the three kids were standing right there. And as she said that, I looked and I was like, okay, first girl has a sign and it says, "Jackson, will you please make a TikTok with me?" And I made a long video about this a year ago. And so I saw that. Second kid is covered in his entire body in autographs, his entire body, Party Animals, Bananas all signed it. And the last girl had a bracelet that said Jackson on it. Oh. And so she said that and like walked by. And as she was walking by, she was probably 20 feet away. And I was like, no, not really. Like not tired of it. Like I see these three kids and like, they're the most excited. This is 11 o'clock, probably on a Sunday. They have school the next day.
Right.
And I'm like, no, like I will never get tired of this. Like if anyone gets tired of this, they're insane. It does get tiring mentally and physically, but like tired of it. Tired of it? Never. So that's the coolest one.
Oh, I love that. You know, you said something at the beginning that you said you love the name Misunderstood. You have such a great persona and you have such good like vibes, you know, but is there something that you feel in your life that has been misunderstood or you feel empathy for people who have been misunderstood?
Yeah. I mean, I think I was always misunderstood as this hard-nosed baseball player who I didn't always have a great attitude. Like I had problems in college, throwing my glove, throwing my helmet, like getting upset, like being this, like, if I don't succeed, I will never be good at anything in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And so I was misunderstood. And then now I'm able to like get past that and like have people actually understand through social media, through the Bananas that I'm actually like, hopefully I'm a good person. Hopefully I've inspired people to do better things with their life too. So yeah, misunderstood early on, but then kind of changed it in my own way to make sure that people understood like who I really was.
Do you think that you feel more misunderstood now though, because you found your purpose and like you feel so happy in what you're doing and you're not trying to figure out where you need to be or what you need to be doing and you're like happy in the moment?
Yeah. I think, and also like, it's not always easy. So people do always think like, all right, this is the most positive kid in the entire world. Like he's always being happy and positive and never like being mean or like responding to nasty comments or anything like that. But like, it does wear on you. Like I'm tired a lot. And like, I'm putting on this smiley face a lot because I love it and it's fun. There's some days when you show up to the field and you're like, whew, like that was a tough last 2 days. I got 4 hours, 5 hours of sleep. self-inflicted, like not that they're making us get 4 or 5 hours of sleep.
No,
but
no, personally, I get it. Yeah.
Scrolling on my phone, I still have the like everything going on in my mind. But yeah, so basically I'm misunderstood because I'm just a human being.
No, I get that. I love that you said that. I know a lot of people that follow you will want to know about your personal life now. Like, how do you balance the two? What are you doing in your personal life? Or do you not have time for a personal life?
Yeah. I mean, if people are going to want to know everything that's going on, I live a pretty private lifestyle outside. I mean, of bananas and everything. I'm just chilling most of the time. I'm not going out partying. I'm usually never going out. I don't see a need for it right now in my life. Right. I'm just kind of like preparing for the next day, planning everything out. But yeah, people do want to know what's going on. I mean, people want to know if I'm dating, if I'm like doing this, or like if I'm going to play with the bananas forever. Like I get messages, comments, all that stuff. And I'll respond to some of them if they're positive, but when they're trying to like get into my life, I'm just like, no, I'm not at that point yet where I can just release everything in my entire life to everyone.
Sure. No, but I think more, I mean, I totally get that, but like, I wonder, you know, I'm sure people wonder if all your best friends are the people on the team, or like after you leave the team, are you with a totally different group? I love that you said you're not going out, because that shows me like you're really focused on what you're doing and you don't really care. It's not like you have FOMO about what's going on some nightclub. You're a young kid and some people think that that's what you need to be doing. I would think that you don't need to be doing that because you're above that. Like you have a lot of shit going on. You don't need to be doing any of that stuff. So I think that's great that you figured that out on your own.
Yeah, definitely. And like my best friends on the field, best friends in real life. Like I literally got matching tattoos with two of them, like at the same time. And it's actually of ours. So it says 3-2-2-4. We do a dance every third inning, second batter, second pitch. And then, so like that's an automatic every game. And then it says DSC, which basically means do something cool. We're playing Fortnite together every night. Like it's a very close knit bond with a couple guys. So
I love that. Is your family proud of you?
Yes, they are proud of me. I think they always have been, but there was obviously some times where they were maybe worried about what I was doing, like Instacart driving at that point. But I think they understood there was a longer term goal that I had, that I was not going to just like settle for anything. We had a lot of deep conversations and long talks about it. Like what's next? Like what is next? There's gotta be something that's next, right? Like all my former teammates were getting jobs and they were landing these jobs and posting on LinkedIn. Like I am so thankful and grateful to blah, blah, blah. I am a computer. Like I'm not going to be a computer for the rest of my life. Like I'm not doing that. And I saw that and I'm like, is that what I want to do? I just got done playing college baseball, being cool. Like I'm not going to type at a computer. Not that anything wrong with that, but I was like, there's something else that I have in front of me. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm thankful that I believed in myself.
Right. But don't you think there's something to be said for the fact that you are and were a hustler? Like you didn't just like say to your parents, can you pay my rent? You went out and you tried Instacarting, which is like hard. I mean, physically, emotionally, like it's a lot of work to make money. And it sounds like you were making good money. I mean, everything that can go wrong. And it just shows that like you were trying and you know how to be kind of at the bottom and work your way up. I think that says a lot about your character though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I obviously like, I didn't add this in there, but I moved to California. My dad and I drove in this $8,000 car that I bought with, I don't know what money, but I got it. And I moved to California because I was like, I need to do something crazy. This is after MLB or in between MLB, creator class and between going to the stadiums. Uh-huh. And like, I'm going to live in Connecticut my entire life if I don't do this right now. So I moved to California, was struggling pretty good out there. Didn't have a lot of money. Didn't have any friends. Didn't know anyone. Finally met someone who I was, got to be roommates with, and he was an actor. So he got like, he had that passion and I had that passion to like, so we were kind of like pushing each other in different ways.
Right.
Yeah. So it was really cool to have that. And then, that's when I started going on the MLB tour, finally moved to Savannah, like broke my lease in California, moved to Savannah. But between Instacarting and moving to California by myself, like I was hustling a lot. I mean, not to the point where I was like begging on the side of the street, but I was hustling.
No, but hustling to get it done, to pay your bills. I get that. I respect that. Do your parents come to all your games?
Not all of them. A decent amount though, as many as they can. My mom's retiring this year. So that'll be really cool. She'll be able to come to more after that. For Christmas, I got them a trip to anywhere they wanted to go, like to watch the Bananas, like flight, hotel, all that stuff. And I asked my mom, I was like, when do you think you can take off work? And I said it like not realizing right away, but she was like, I'm going to be retiring. I'm like, I could follow you guys on tour. I could be a groupie.
Oh gosh. All right. Explain how people can get tickets to this, because it seems very difficult.
Very difficult. There's an interest list.
You cannot buy a ticket. You have to be on a list or something, right?
You can buy a ticket. It's unfortunately, there are a lot of the tickets, not a lot, but if someone decides they want to go to a game like 2 days before, they'll go to the third party site and pay a lot of money. The best way to get on it is going through the interest list or buying me something really nice, and then maybe I'll get you a ticket.
Okay, so that means DM Jackson and offer him. Really
nice. Yeah, I get you a ticket. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, the interest list. A lot of people want to come. A lot of people want to come to games. Luckily, we're playing in front of a lot more people this year. There's a lot more tickets to be sold, a lot more tickets to be bought.
Well, but like I went online to get a ticket and it said that all the tickets were done and you had to be on like a wait list for an interest list or whatever.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, these tickets sell out really fast. So like for Mesa, like that game is sold out completely. Like every seat is full. So it's tough.
That's amazing though.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, you think of like people always say like the Yogi Berra, like it's so crowded. No one goes there. Like that's like the famous quote I always think about. And it's like, Right. Well, we're going to fill 2 million seats this year. So it's like when people are complaining about no one being able to get tickets, I'm like, well, 2 million people are getting tickets. So I would say that's a lot of people that are getting tickets. That's how I kind of like to think about it and rationalize in my head. But.
And last year, did you guys travel to all these same places that you're traveling this year? Or do you have a lot of new places?
New places. We're playing in 3 minor league parks. We're playing in 17 major league stadiums and 4 football stadiums. So Wow. That's our schedule. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And lastly, I just want to know, have you ever been playing and something goes terribly wrong?
Oh my gosh. Yes. My first game on the 2023 tour, first inning too, we wanted to do a skit where I was going to light a ball on fire. And so the pitcher was going to hold the ball up and he was going to have all this soapy substance on his hand that was flammable. And I was going to click the lighter, have it go off, accidentally stuck the lighter into the fluid. So it was wet. So it couldn't light. So I'm sitting there with 8,000 people in West Palm Beach, watching my every move, watching everything on the field. Like, this is the first game. This is so exciting. Like, I'm the third baseman for the Bananas. Let's go. And it didn't light. And I stood there for like, it felt like an eternity. It was probably 7 seconds. And then Kyle, our pitcher, was like, just go. He was like the most like depressing thing. He was like, just go back to third base.
Oh
like,
no.
And we ended up doing it and actually making it happen the next inning. And it got on ESPN. It went viral. It got probably 10 million views. Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing.
Right. What advice would you give to any young athletes looking to combine their athleticism with social media? You've done such a good job with that.
Yeah, this is advice I'd give to my younger self if I wanted to. Like, it would basically be, don't put so much pressure on yourself to get to that next level. And like, that's the only thing that you want to accomplish in life. Cause like, that was the only thing I wanted to accomplish. I was like, all right, I want to be Division I baseball player, pro baseball player. And that was it. Just don't worry. Don't worry about the negativity, the haters that are like, oh, you're going to play for the Bananas now. Like, you're going to do musical theater, like all this. Just focus on yourself and what you love to do. And if you like theater, if you like dancing, if you like singing, like do it now. Cause it actually turns out being pretty cool when you're older. You don't realize it at the time. You don't think like singers are cool when you're 12 years old playing baseball or football. But like now you think about it and you're like, whoa, like I wish I played an instrument growing up, or I wish I tried more things, did gymnastics, like did all this stuff. So try new things.
Okay. Savannah Bananas, your season starts February 2nd. Did I get that right?
February 1st,
and goes until October. People should go where to find out how they can get tickets?
Bananas website is probably the best way.
Is what? Is it savannahbanana.com?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And
if they're interested in following you and knowing more about you, how can they find you?
Jackson Olson _ on everything. And then, basically that.
Jackson, you are so cute and fun, and hopefully I will see you at one of your games. I can't wait to see how you guys do this season. Good luck to you, and thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.